Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And our text for tonight is in that last verse that we read. Verse 12, Matthew 14. John the Baptist has been beheaded. And we read, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. I would like to focus our attention on those words. And went and told Jesus. It was a night of unimaginable wickedness. Wickedness that was spawned in hell. Manifested itself in the actions of a wicked monarch and in the actions of a wicked mother. There is no limit when we look at this incident. There is no limit to the depths that in the actions of a totally depraved individual will stoop to. No limit whatsoever. Witness what took place at the birthday banquet. The birthday was that of a man of whom it might be said, as the Lord spoke of Judas Iscariot, Lord said of him, it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. That could be said about Herod. And the actions that he took that night. For the birthday of Herod was also the death day of the holy, noble, self-sacrificing, godly John the Baptist. Herod's hands were stained with John's blood, as was also his conscience. And his partner in this wicked crime was a wicked mother whose name was Herodias. John's execution had taken place at this birthday party to appease this revengeful mother. As we read there in those verses 6 down to 11. That's what Herodias' daughter danced before Herod, and it pleased him and promised to give her half of the kingdom. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist. So there it was brought. John the Baptist's head on a charger and presented to the evil mother who had requested it. The voice that had once cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God," was now silent. The voice that was once heard to multitudes in the wilderness would not be heard anymore. The one who had been sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, had run his race, he had finished his course, and most certainly had kept the faith. And all who heard the Savior's testimony concerning John should remember his words. Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. Luke 7, verse 28. But now John was gone. But what of those who were left behind? Apart from the Lord himself, John's closest friends would have been his disciples. What would they do? What could they do How would they cope? There was no authority to which they could appeal. And yet grief must always find expression. If there be no human ear to hear, the agonized soul will sink down to where no standing is. What were they to do? There was only one thing they could do, only one thing that they could do. Verse 12 tells us, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. That's what they did. I want us first of all tonight to consider, regarding this verse 12, the retrieving of the body of John. Following the beheading of John, we are told, and when his disciples heard of it, they came, took up the corpse, and laid it in a tomb, Mark 6 and verse 29. It's a true saying. Bad news travels fast. And here the disciples of John received the news, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up the corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the news regarding John's death soon came to the ears of his disciples. Here we see, first of all, their loss. Their loss. When those disciples heard the news, how did they feel? Shock, no doubt. Sadness, for sure. Sorrow, certainly. But how they felt, we are not told. We're not told. We're just simply told they went and told Jesus. The Holy Spirit, in recording these events, has seen fit not to reveal to us the feelings of John's disciples. All we are told is they went and told Jesus. And what a blessed thought this is, that things that we cannot share with others, things that perhaps we cannot tell to our nearest friends, we can go and tell Jesus. We can tell him our hidden secrets, our personal sorrows, and confident that he will take them to heart. It's a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus. Things that we may find difficult or not dare share with others, we can most certainly share them with Christ. And that's what the disciples of John did. They went and they told Jesus. Just as John's disciples went and told Jesus about their loss, you and I can do the same. Have you lost your song? Salvation song. Well, go and tell Jesus, and he'll have you singing again. Have you lost your sense of direction in life? Well, go and tell Jesus, and soon you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Have you lost your strength? Then go and tell Jesus, and the Lord will give you that strength back again. Have you lost your sight of the cross? Been distracted by the world? Go and tell Jesus, and he will anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. And anyone who's lost their soulmate, they do not know what to do. They can do what the disciples of John did. go and tell Jesus about your loss, and he will bring you comfort. As well as their loss, we think also of their love. Can there be any doubt that the disciples of John loved him? When we read that they went and took up the body of John and buried it and went and told Jesus. They had gone and claimed the mutilated body of their friend and buried it. Likewise, who can doubt the love of Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a disciple of the Lord, but secretly for fear of the Jews? But when he got a glimpse of the cross, he was no longer a secret disciple. Because we are told, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, after which, with loving and tender care, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb. No one can doubt Joseph of Arimathea's love for Christ when he went and he did that in Matthew 27, verses 58 to 60. And how John's disciples must have loved him, going, as was said, and retrieving the body of their master, their mentor, and their friend, and giving it a decent burial, after which they went and told Jesus. Where else can we go? Where else can we go regarding those who are our friends and family, who are dead in trespasses and in sin? We need to go and tell Jesus about them. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they've been distracted, their head has been turned by these things of the world. What do we do? We go and tell Jesus. What else can we do? What else could the disciples of John do? They had no one else to appeal to. So they went and they told Jesus. We love those unsaved ones of ours, family and friends, neighbours, and we'd love to see them saved. We would say to them, "Oh, come with us and come at once. That land is bright and fair. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there." But will they listen? Perhaps they haven't listened in the past. Who do we appeal to? We do as John the Baptist's disciples did. They went and they told Jesus. That's what we can do. It's an amazing thing that when we go and tell Jesus about our unsaved loved ones, the Lord Jesus will understand. He'll understand because we read in John 7 and verse 5, "Neither did his brethren believe in him." And so the Lord's own earthly brethren didn't believe in their elder brother. So that means we can go and tell the Lord and he'll understand. He'll be able to say, "I know how you feel, because my brethren didn't believe in me." No, they didn't until they saw the cross. So we have their loss and their love Then we notice their labors there in that verse 12. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. They took the body and they buried it. And they carried that body of John from Herod's palace to the place of burial. And as they carried it, it was a burden to them. It was a burden in their hands as they carried the body of John. But there was another burden that they had. It wasn't the burden of their hands, it was a burden of their heart. And while they could take the body of John and lay it down and be relieved of the weight of that body when they put it in the tomb, they couldn't do that with the burden of their heart. The only way that they could be relieved of that burden was to go and tell Jesus. For theirs was a burden of sadness and sorrow and separation. Separation from their beloved leader and teacher. There's only one place they could go to. They went and they told Jesus. After all, the Lord did say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden. The disciples of John were heavy laden. And they came to the Lord. They did what the psalmist said. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden on the Lord. So that's what they did. When they went and they told Jesus, they cast their burden upon him. Whatever your burden is, however heavy it may be, tell Christ. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord about it. Cast it upon him. He is able to bear it. He's broad-shouldered. He has a loving heart. Go and tell Jesus. We've considered then the relieving or the retrieving of the body of John. One is now next to consider the response after the burial of John. Once the disciples of John had taken care of the body, we see what they did next. They went and told Jesus. We notice, first of all, regarding their response, it was immediate. Know what it says? And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. The word "and" links the sentence together, that his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Once they buried the body of their friend and leader and mentor, John the Baptist, we're told they went and told Jesus. It was immediate. It didn't go anywhere else. They went and told Jesus. Reminds us, does it not, of Mary and Martha. When their brother Lazarus fell ill, they sent word immediately to the Savior. We're told, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. John 11, verse 3. When their brother had fallen ill, that's what they did. They went and they told Jesus. They didn't go around telling their neighbors. They went and told Jesus. As did the disciples of John. For there was only one person on their mind. Only one person they wanted to tell. And that was the great bearer of burdens. That's why we need to do what John's disciples did. They went and told Jesus, for only Jesus can bring deliverance, and only Jesus can lift that burden, and only Jesus can relieve the troubled heart. Do not try to solve your problems alone. Rather, go and tell Jesus and He'll solve them. Do not attempt to carry your burdens alone. Go immediately and tell Jesus, and He will lift the burden. Do not sit alone, weeping in silence, but go immediately to the Lord Jesus and tell the Lord, and He'll wipe away all your tears. Do not be in torment of soul over matters that you cannot change, but go immediately and tell Jesus, and He will give you the peace that you long for and desire. Go and tell Jesus. That's what John's disciples did, and they went immediately. But notice further regarding their response. They not only went immediately, but they went to an individual. They went and told Jesus. There's only one name mentioned there. An individual, they went to the Lord. They didn't go to Peter, James, or John, or any of the other disciples. Even though they would have known them and been familiar with them, no, they went immediately and told Jesus. They went to Him alone, knowing that He would understand all of their grief. Why? Because Christ is one who is acquainted with grief. They went to Him alone, knowing that He would feel their sorrow. Why? Because He is a man of sorrows. He sees the height, the depth, the length, the width of our grief. He is the only one who can fully sympathize and wholly understand our sorrow. For as we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, He is our high priest and He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, because there's so much teaching in it, in that one verse. Take, for example, the word touched. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The word touched means to suffer with another. To suffer with them. Not just to, as it were, express sympathy. No. To suffer with them. So when John's disciples went into the valley of Baca, namely the valley of tears, that is, the valley of weeping, Christ was there with them. He was in the valley with them. Sure, isn't that His name? The Song of Solomon tells us. He's not only the Rose of Sharon, but He's the Lily of the Valleys, plural. We sang that hymn tonight. Christ is the Lily. But the hymn writer really got it wrong. The hymn writer has it, He's the Lily of the Valley, bright in the morning star. He's not the Lily of the Valley, singular. He's the Lily of the Valleys, plural. Whatever valley you're in, Christ is there. Whatever the valley, however deep the valley, however dark the valley, the Lord Jesus is there. And so the disciples went and told Jesus. The dear Savior was moved with compassion on them. That word touched may also be translated compassion. So when John's disciples went and told Jesus, the dear Savior was moved with compassion. He's not a hard-hearted individual. Remember the number of times in the Gospels, read through the Gospels, underline the number of times you come across that word compassion. Relating to the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. When he saw the poor leprous man, diseased, his body been eaten away with that awful disease, he was moved with compassion. That's who he is. He's not hard-hearted. His heart went out to these disciples. He stood with them in their sorrow. Now we know why they went and told Jesus. Because they knew they would have a sympathizing ear. But more than that, they knew they would have one who would suffer along with them. I've often said regarding that verse and regarding that word, our tears are his tears because he suffers along with us. Our sorrow is his sorrow. Our heartbreak is his heartbreak. That's what it means. Now we know why they went and told Jesus. Because he is bone of their bone. Flesh of their flesh. Heart with their heart. He sorrowed with them. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts? When the thorn of life has pierced us till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. The disciples of John discovered that when they went and told Jesus. So they went, and their response, they went immediately. They went to an individual. And they went to the Lord Jesus because he was interested. We've touched on that already. Certainly they knew the Lord would be interested in the death of John and in their own personal feelings. We quoted there the words of Hebrews 4 and verse 15 about Christ our great high priest being touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We notice the words translated touch and feelings are the same Greek word. They're the same word in the original Greek. Touched and feelings. Which indicates to us that the Lord is interested and is touched by our feelings. Another word is used in that verse, infirmities. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That word infirmity means weaknesses. He's touched by the feelings of our weaknesses. And so for the disciples of John, how weak they must have felt, how weak they must have been, for sorrow and grief tends to leave the mourner weak. Without much strength, wondering, can I possibly go on? So when those men went and told Jesus in their garb of mourning, weak and grief-stricken, the dear Savior was interested. There may be those today. We could go to them and tell them something about our troubles and why they may not say it openly. You know what they are saying in their heart. Don't tell me your troubles. I've got troubles of my own. But that was never Christ. That was never the Lord Jesus. No one else would have understood how they felt. No one else would have felt the weakness which they felt. So why, indeed, why go to anyone else? There's only one person to go to. There's only one person those disciples of John went to. And they went and they told Jesus. We have seen the retrieving of the body of John. We've seen also the response to the burial of John. We see finally in the last place the report about the beloved John. Looking at those words, they went and told Jesus, we discover that the word told, they went and told Jesus, that word told means to report. So they had gone to the Savior and gave a full report of what had happened to John the Baptist, their master. As you can imagine, for those disciples it must have been a painful report. Going to the Lord and giving a full report about all that had taken place must have been very painful, especially when they carried the body of John, whose head had been cut off. How painful it must have been for those disciples to look upon John and to see what that wicked Herod had done to their friend and master. How painful it must have been for those disciples. But they went and they told Jesus. They went and reported to Jesus. And no doubt, they went and gave him a full report. I have no doubt it wasn't any kind of a sketchy report. What did they do? They went and they unburdened their heart to him. They gave him a report. They told him everything. They went and told Jesus. So when we go and tell Jesus, we can go and tell him all that's on our heart. Isn't he ready to hear? Isn't he ready to listen to what pains us? What has hurt us? What has afflicted us? Tell him everything. Go and tell Jesus. Go and report to Jesus. The disappointments that have pained you, the discouragements that has caused you such grief, the defeats that have pierced you through and through. The dear Savior knows all about pain, doesn't he? So then go and tell Jesus. And the prayer is, and pray as David did, saying, give ear to my prayer, O God. My heart is sore pained within me. Psalm 55, verses 1 and 4. Sure, to whom else can we go when pain is in the heart? To go and tell Jesus. There's nobody else. One who knows all about pain, as we've said. Is there anyone can help us? When the load is hard to bear, and we faint and fall beneath it in alarm, who in tenderness will lift us, and the heavy burden share, and support us with an everlasting arm. Yes, there's one, only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, He's the one. When afflictions pierce the soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you find and you need a friend to help you, He is the one. They went and they gave a full report. It was a painful report, but notice also it was a private report. We're not privy to what was said. That was between the man and the master. We're just simply told they went and told Jesus, and that's it. We're not told anything else. We're not told exactly what they said. We just learned they gave him a report so they would have told him everything. But we're not told what the Lord said to them in return. Whatever took place in the conversation between the disciples of John and the Lord, we're not told. It was private. They went and told Jesus. He knew. And we could say no one else needed to know. So we can tell Jesus those things which we don't need to tell others. Those things we cannot tell others. Those things perhaps that are too sensitive to tell others. But we can go and tell Jesus. And the wonderful thing is, we can go and tell Jesus and it'll not go any further. That's where it'll be and that's where it'll stay. Maybe you've met someone and you've told them something that was quite private and said, now don't say a word to anybody. And you know before the week's out, what you told them has come back to you again. That'll never happen with Christ. You can go and tell Jesus, and that's where it'll stay. There's a painful report, a private report, and it was a plain report. Do the words before us not indicate that? They went and told Jesus. They just simply reported to the Lord all that had taken place. I'm sure they didn't seek to embellish it in any way. So that's what it said. They went and told Jesus. Just a few words. And when we have a heavy burden lying upon our heart, with plainness of speech, let us go and tell Jesus. Just simply tell Him. Tell Him simply. When we pray out of a heart that is almost breaking into, it's no time for eloquence of speech. No. We just simply tell the Lord in plain terms. And you know something? He'll understand. He'll understand. In such times, the best we can do is to use words that best describe how we feel. He'll understand, remembering that that's what the disciples of John did. They went and plainly told Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear the burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. One who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and burdens will share. And his disciples came and took up the body of John and buried it and went and told Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord and loving Father, we thank Thee again for the life and ministry of John the Baptist. What a mighty man he was. And, O Lord, he being dead yet speaketh. And here we are still talking about John the Baptist. We're glad, Lord, that those disciples of his knew what to do. When they took up his body and buried it, they went and told Jesus. O Lord God, may we always be aware that the Lord is ready to listen. And when we go and tell him all that's upon our heart, he will never turn us away. He'll never show any disinterest, because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And they went and told Jesus. Write thy word upon our heart, Lord. May we remember this word. Now, dear Lord, be with us tonight as we leave the house of God. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us, Lord, and be with us throughout this week and our going out and coming and down, sitting and uprising, knowing that thou understandest our thoughts afar off. Keep the plague from our dwellings and keep us safe and well and healthy. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.